Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
A big month for Purdue football with move-in day, summer classes and workouts and camps and recruiting. We've got it all covered on Golden Black Radio. Plus, we'll talk a little bit of basketball recruiting as well. It's a full crew in today. Tom Deanhart, Brian Newbert in a couple of minutes. We'll talk to Alan Karpik as well about the NFF Honors Dinner on Sunday. Let's start, though, with Tom and talk a little bit of football. Training camp will be here before we know it, Tom, in just a couple of months. I think we sort of took the first step toward that with move-in day, for the Boilermaker freshmen going on this week as they get set for summer classes and workouts. It's a big next couple of months to gear up toward training camp, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. This is just another indication, Kyle, of how much closer the 2019 season is. A decorated collection of freshmen, as you said, are starting to move into West Lafayette. It's going to be fun. And some of these guys, as we all know, Kyle, could have a good chance to contribute this fall. And, of course, all eyes are on those four receivers. David Bell, of course, leading the charge. Probably the best player in Indiana last year. Mershon Rice from Ohio. TJ Sheffield, two from down in Tennessee. And then Milton Wright from Louisville, Kyle. Four very touted receivers. How many of those guys will impact? It's going to be fun to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it's much easier to predict maybe positions that a freshman might be able to contribute than the specific players. We do know, though, that there will probably be, what, upwards of five, half dozen, maybe even more than that, true freshmen who get on the field this season. Now, we've seen a couple of them already, George Karloff, just Jalen Graham, you know, a couple who I think it's pretty safe to say will get on the field in 2019. I think it would be more surprising if they did not. You mentioned those receivers as well. Maybe a couple, at least one of the running backs. Are those the real positions that you look to maybe here in 2019 that one of those guys might be able to contribute right away?
Yeah, that's a good summation there. Without a doubt, George Karloff, I think, is going to start when that team lines up out in Nevada on August 30th. Jalen Graham, I think, is going to be the starting nickel defensive back to begin with. Of course, those two guys arrived in the spring for spring ball. David Bell, I think, is going to probably start. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. Kyle, you talked about the running backs. Yeah, without a doubt. You know, Terrio Fuller's had a history of injury. He's probably the number one back right now. Richie Worship could play if he's healthy. Xander Horvath. It's just a solid group of running backs, Kyle. So I think there's a chance for DeJuan Hewitt and King Garu maybe to play significantly this year, maybe both of them. How quickly do they pick up nuances like pass protection? Those are going to be key things to watch as those backs – you know, hit the ground running here in training camp in August. But, yeah, running back receiver up front on defense with Karloftis in the back end. I think with Graham are some guys and some positions to really keep an eye on.
Yeah. I know you've been doing entrance interviews with a lot of these guys in advance of them arriving on campus. Anything stand out to you about what they are saying about, getting to West Lafayette and getting started?
Just a lot of overall excitement, I think. They realize they're part of a special group of freshmen coming in. They're the most least touted and decorated from a recruiting ranking standpoint group that Purdue's had going back to the early 2000s. We all know about the momentum the program has to coming off consecutive bowls. We all know about the commitment Jeff Brohm has made to the university. So, again, the players realize this. They sense that. And they know they could be jumping on board on the precipice of maybe this program really taking that proverbial next step, Kyle, and maybe beginning to contend for Big Ten West championships. So, again, most of these kids, you would imagine, are very excited and eager to get going.
Wasn't all that long ago that, players just started showing up, like, right before training camp, right? they've got going, yeah. It's changed so much in the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, it's pretty critical, especially for a freshman, if a freshman wants to play, either to be here in the spring or at the latest here at the start of June to be able to prepare themselves. So what, I mean, what does a freshman have to do, you think, to, you know, get ready or put himself in the best position to be ready to go come day one of training camp?
Well, you got to be in good shape, number one. I think a lot of these guys realize that, and they can continue to enhance their physical conditioning and physical preparedness overall this summer, you know, strength-wise and aerobically as well. So that's always number one. Number two, you got to know the playbook, obviously. And these guys have been given playbooks going back to the spring. They've had a chance to study on their own, and now they're going to get a chance to informally work out with teammates and begin to adapt more and more to again, the schemes and the plays that the offense and defense run. So those are two big things. And again, these freshmen sense that opportunity. And, you know, we talked about the backs, the receivers, some of the guys who are riding the spring. Don't forget, too, Kyle, we're just going to have a true freshman punter, Brooks Cormier from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They're counting on that kid stepping in and punting from day one. And, you know, keep an eye on the two tight ends, too, Kyle Bilodeau and Garrett Miller. I know Purdue's got good depth of tight end this year, but those two guys come with what I like to always call fat scrapbooks. And one last guy, Kyle, Dante Hunter. We talked about George Karloftis, one defensive end. Dante Hunter is a Columbus, Ohio kid. Well, I think has a chance to maybe come in and impact right away off the edge as a pass rusher. So just keep him on your radar as well as we move in the summer and then in the fall.
Schedule talk is always extremely exciting, Tom, especially when you're talking about completing schedules that are still 8 years away. But Purdue did complete some of its non-conference schedules here for the next couple of seasons, bringing in the Fightin' Tiffins in Florida Atlantic, if Lane is still around in a couple of years, for 2022. Ball State at home in 25, Miami of Ohio. I know you have to change some plans for September 18th of 2027 as Miami comes in into town. But any thoughts on the completion of the non-con schedules, at least here for the next several years?
Well, I think, you know, Purdue has to be pleased to have this put to bed, so to speak. Talking to Bobinski a month or so ago, these are expensive propositions to get schools to come to your venue and not have to return a date, having to spend upwards of close to $1 million, if not more, sometimes to get these schools to visit. And again, Miami of Ohio, Ball State, traditional MAC opponents. Florida Atlantic, like you said, Kyle, is intriguing because of the Lane Kiffin factor, but will he even be there? Who knows? And again, you know, Brahm has connections in that program. He actually coached there under Howard Schnellenberger at one point, so there's a familiarity there. And that's a program that's pretty solid. So, again, Purdue need these kind of games on their schedule. You like to win these games, but again, it's just nice, I'm sure, that the University of Brass to have these things in its rearview mirror.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Tom.
You bet, Kyle. Take care.
All right, let's take a break. We'll bring in Brian Newbert here in just a moment. We'll talk to him about the start of football camps this month, also his travels down in southern Indiana to watch some of the Indiana Junior All-Stars. Will do that and more here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place, so you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact at chartersteam.com. Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. And let's bring in Brian to talk a little bit of football recruiting with the prospect camp over the weekend. We'll talk some hoops as well. As you are aware, Brian, you're hanging out somewhere between Louisville and Jeffersonville this morning.
I'm in Louisville. I covered the game last night in Louisville, spent the night here, and I'm making the trek to Jeffersonville today for the game at 7 o'clock tonight. So obviously I'm in a huge hurry to get through this show so I can get to that game.
Yeah. Are you swimming across the river? Are you going to drive? What's the plan there?
I will be driving. I will be paying the toll to get back to Indiana, and then I will be finding somewhere to work all day in southern Indiana, which my experiences in the past have been pretty colorful doing so.
Yeah. All right, let's start off with a little bit of football, picking up there where we left off with Tom, and we'll get back to basketball. A prospect camp over the weekend back up here at Purdue. Some notables there. What'd you think about some of the players you saw come through West Lafayette there over the weekend?
Yeah, it was probably more significant from a class of 2021 perspective than a 2020 perspective. I'm not sure there were really a whole lot of rising seniors that are going to be guys Purdue's going to be offering anytime soon. I think Austin Collins is a lineman from Louisville who is a guy who's probably going to be looked at as a potential offeree. Other than that, I think the interest lied more in younger guys, juniors to be, and Purdue had a couple on campus it already knows it wants. So I'm not sure what kind of evaluation had to be done on Preston Terrell from Columbus, who's a wide receiver who they offered last week. They were going to wait until he camped to offer him, but they just said the hell with it and offered him in advance of the camp, and it's pretty evident why, because he's really, really good from what I saw on Saturday. Ryan Keeler is kind of a versatile lineman from Chicagoland who was at Purdue as well, probably more a guy that you're trying to impress more than you're hoping he'll impress you, because he's a guy with a Michigan offer at Iowa, I think. All kinds of early offers. Purdue had already offered him as well. So just having him on campus is a positive. He didn't camp. He didn't take part in the camp, but Yanni Karloftis was around for a visit prior to the camp. So anytime you've got your top 21 prospects on campus early, that's always a very positive thing. That's one thing this staff has really done well from day one at Purdue, has been getting guys on campus early, identifying guys early, getting them on campus, getting them to be around the coaches, getting them to be around campus, and it has paid pretty significant dividends so far, because a lot of the guys who made up one of the better recruiting classes Purdue has signed last season were guys who were on campus a year before they had to sign for these camps, for these visits, for these game days, things like that. So you cannot get these dudes on campus too much or too early anymore, because everything moves so much faster nowadays in recruiting than it did before. And the more you can get them on campus, the better your chance is going to be when they ultimately decide.
Everybody's recruiting Yanni, including Purdue. How much sway do you think George will have in that recruitment?
I would have to think he will have some. But I would also have to think all of the same dynamics. I'm only speculating here. All of the same dynamics that applied to George would apply to Yanni. It is a very close family.
Yeah.
It's a very tight family. And I know the prevailing wisdom around Yanni Karloftis is he would prefer to probably do his own thing. Anybody who has asked anyone about him has said that. That is, he is much more likely than George to go someplace else. I will remind them that at this age, George still wanted to go to Miami. But, you know, I do think that when push comes to shove, the convenience, the keeping the family together component of this is going to factor into this pretty significantly. I don't see how it doesn't. That being said, he might go to Ohio State. He might go anywhere. He can go anywhere. He is a legitimate national recruit who can choose basically anywhere to go because he is that good. But I do think as long as George's experience at Purdue is good, which every indication for the last couple months has been, it's been very positive, and he's too good a player, I think, to not have at least a solid experience at Purdue, I would have to think that at the end of the day, it will be very difficult to say no to Purdue. That being said, he's got a lot of great places that would be very easy to say yes to also, but the simple component of it in terms of the family being able to see both kids in the same place, I would have to think that is going to be a very significant factor, just like it was for George. You know, Purdue did a great job recruiting George from a football perspective, but the reality of it was the family considerations, the lifelong loyalties to Purdue, the all of this stuff, the convenience of it all factored pretty heavily into his decision as well. And I would have to think that will at least play a role in the, you know, when push comes to shove for Yanni too.
The two offensive linemen commits were around over the weekend as well. Gus Hartwig, one of those two, participated in the camp. You got a chance to see him a little bit. What did you think of the offensive lineman?
I think he's probably more center than guard. I don't know why I think that. I just think he's got more of a center body type, a little bit leaner, a little bit more compact. He's not that big, massive guard. That being said, I didn't really stay with him the whole time in terms of watching him move, you know, stuff like that. I just kind of watched him snap a few times and do some not all that interesting drills that you can only draw so much from. But just kind of looking at him, he just looks like more of a center body type to me in terms of what I'd consider a center body type. But legitimate size, he's all of 6'5". He's probably 280, 290, carries it really well. Just from what I can tell, looks like a guy who is going to walk in the door looking like a big-time player, at least.
Right. All right, let's talk a little bit of basketball, as that is what you're wandering around Southern Indiana, Northern Kentucky for at the moment. You saw Jaden Ivey a little bit just for the latest time, I would imagine, last night in Louisville. In the junior game against the counterparts down there from Kentucky. By the way, when did they start doing that, playing the juniors against the juniors between Indiana and Kentucky?
They change it every year, basically, just to try to find the best balance of this, to still have it without, you know, a couple of years ago, they started running into some problems because a lot of the seniors, you know, their time is in demand because their colleges want them to enroll. They want to enroll in college, so they don't really have as much time to dedicate to this as possible. So this whole thing used to be like a 2-week process, and now it's been boiled down basically into less than a week. In terms of the juniors, this is the first year I can recall them playing Team Kentucky, let alone playing them twice in 2 days in two different states. So maybe they're trying to add a little bit of intrigue here to where these guys are going to be playing it next year on the Indiana and Kentucky All-Star teams, maybe create a little bit of a familiarity, maybe a little bit more of a rivalry, so to speak. I don't know, but I do know Indiana has dominated this thing for a very long period of time, and I'm sure they would probably like to add a little bit of intrigue to it.
Yeah. Ivy played well, it seemed, last night.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, he didn't get many shots up. The official stats had him for 6. I had him for 8. I think he was 5 of 8 for 13 points. He really gave him a chance at the end. They were down 6 points with like 3 minutes to go. Ivy scores 5 in a row, gets him within 1. And then the reality of it was that Indiana melted down. I mean, they just really, really struggled to do anything positive from there on out. Had they would have won. But they also, I mean, they got a little bit of home cooking from the refs, Team Kentucky did. Because the next time down, Ivy tries to split a double team, turns it over, borderline foul. Next time down, Ivy shoots a three, blatant, egregious foul that should have had him at the line for three free throws. prior to that, he of his five in a row, one of them was a driving layup where you easily could have called an N1 on that. It wasn't just him. I mean, it was, you know, I do think the officiating went a certain way. I'm not accusing the refs of necessarily anything nefarious here. I think that it just was kind of the way the game went. And that's the non-foul on Ivy shooting the three was egregious. And I think had he gotten those three free throws, made at least two of them, I think, you know, it could have affected the outcome a little bit because Kentucky started getting a bunch of runouts at the end there and a bunch of easy bets. I don't even remember what the final score was, but I think they won by double digits when they were up by one with 1:57 to go. So that tells you how the last two minutes went for Team Indiana, but I think they got a little bit of help too. But Jaden Ivey was solid. Really shot the ball well off the catch. I think of his 13 points, three of them were off threes. Three threes, a putback, and the driving layup there at the end. But really shot the ball well, catching it in transition. I've seen him make every type of three you can possibly make, and he looks comfortable doing all of it. So I think Purdue's getting a really versatile type of guard, a really versatile type of scorer here.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Take your time getting across the river today.
Yeah, will do. Thanks.
All right, let's take a break. We'll bring in Alan Karpik, talk a little bit of NFF, the Honors Dinner coming up this Sunday. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Alan to talk a little bit about the NFF dinner coming up on Sunday. Alley's have always been great events. I would imagine that this weekend will be no different. What are your thoughts on it? I mean, Dustin Keller coming in for one. He'll be in the Indiana Football Hall of Fame, so he'll get honored this weekend, and some others also.
Yeah, I think it's been a staple. Jim Brugink's done a great job in the National Football Foundation. The Joe Tiller chapter has been a staple of this community really for almost 15 years now, I believe, and has had a lot to do with keeping football front and center in the community. And you're going to have Jeff Brohm and Matt Painter there handing out awards, so that's going to be important. Rondale Moore getting an award as well. I think part of at this time of year, it's the off season. Yes, you have the students or the new foot freshmen coming in to report to on campus, but this is an important part of the whole process of football in not only in Lafayette area, but also in Northwest Indiana. So, you know, that's the good thing about it. People that are interested in going, if you're a knucklehead, you can get $10 off your ticket. You can contact Jim Brugink at jbrugink@purdue.edu. Or just send me an email and I'll connect to you as well. They need a ticket deadline though is tomorrow it's Sunday event noon at the Purdue Memorial Union.
Yeah, and a lot of Purdue related honorees, as you said. I mean, Larry Clisby, in addition, David
yeah,
Blau,
right, absolutely,
Rondell Moore, you know, Dustin Keller. And then, you know, the Tyler Trent aspect of that as well. I know the Courage Award winner, I think that's the name of it, the Courage and Resilience Award, Sean
right.
English, who got the first one of that. So there'll be that aspect as well, so it should be a pretty good event.
Yeah, I mean, you took it Larry Clisby, and it isn't always, you know, Larry Clisby has a history, obviously, as being a play-by-play announcer for Purdue football over the years as well. But that's the thing I also like about it is that it does call attention to people like Tyler Trent and Larry Clisby that are have had their battles and having their battles, and all in the spirit of Joe Tiller. And I think that makes it a memorable event. We hope to see some people out there. Really good crowd expected. And, you know, it's relatively quick and easy and a good event for a summer afternoon.
Yep. All right, Al, thank you.
All right, thanks so much, Kyle.
All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Again, if you want tickets to that, you can find the link to do so at goldandblack.com or contact Jim Brugink as well. Okay, thanks to our sponsors, as always. East End Grill, First Source Bank, the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the Sixth Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. All right, we'll be back again 10 o'clock next Monday for our next show. Also, be sure to listen to Gold and Black Radio Express and log on for the latest news at goldandblack.com. All right, for Brian Newbert, Tom Deanhart, and Alan Karpik, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Gold and Black Radio.